prayer, haven't we? We've covered a lot of ground that I can't even begin to go back and go over. I'm in the process of working on getting previous sermons out on the website, out on the Charis website, so that everybody can get caught up or want to go back and listen, they can. So we're going to be finishing this series up today on prayer. And then we're going to start next week on the Holy Spirit. And I am excited. Oh, it's going to be good. Praise God. I am looking forward to it. But we've been talking about prayer, and we've gotten now to the Lord's Prayer, and we're breaking down the Lord's Prayer, understanding what the Lord's Prayer is. The Lord's Prayer is more like a skeleton. We don't pray that prayer word for word and expect God to just respond to that. That is repetition. There's no heart in that. I mean, all you're doing is just speaking a bunch of words, but they have no meaning behind them. And Jesus said before he taught the Lord's Prayer, he says, do not be like the hypocrites who just pray with vain repetition. God wants your heart. He wants to communicate with you by the heart, not just by words that you're spewing out. So we were talking about that, and then we got down to the Lord's Prayer. And let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, 9. And Matthew 6, 9 says, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. If we were to read this particular prayer in the New Living Translation, I believe the New Living Translation captures this prayer better than any, because it's not a series of asking and requesting things from God, but it's actually a series of proclamations to God, declaring by faith these things. So in the New Living Translation, listen to the way this is interpreted right here. This is good. Pray like this, Jesus said, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Do you see how those are declarations, proclamations? Do you see that Jesus wasn't begging the Father for something? He was declaring something that he knew was the Father's heart from the beginning. And as we pray to our Father, understand that he's for us, not against us. That he already knows the needs that we have before we even ask him. And that we can declare the things that's in the Father's heart to meet our needs as we go down through here, to take care of us. And we just need to declare what he has done for us and what his heart is for us. So let's go down through this. Now we did talk about, number one, our Father in heaven last week, our Heavenly Father. Note that he's our Father in heaven, and so therefore he's above every problem that we are that we're facing right now. So as we pray to him, he is way above the circumstances that we are dealing with. So as you pray in faith that he's able to take care of every situation in your life. He's your Heavenly Father. Note also that he is your Father. that it's a father and child relationship that we have with God. Huh? This is important because as we realize that we're family to God, that we're His children, and He is our Father, we will walk boldly into the throne room of grace. We will approach Him with faith because He's a good Father. And He loves us. And He cares for us. He's not a mean, angry entity that's sitting on a throne with a thunderbolt in one hand and a club in the other, ready to rake us over the coals. He's a loving Father. He loves us. That's who we're approaching. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Note that in... go to Luke 11:11. We covered this last week, but I think this is important. Luke 11:11. We're just going to skim over this to get caught up. Luke 11:11 says this, "And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil," he's talking to the fathers here, "if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" He's not saying that you fathers are evil, even though you give to your children. But what he's illustrating here is that God loves us more as a father to his children than you could possibly love your children. So much so is his love deeper and more than what you could possibly give to your children, that in comparison, you're evil. That's how deep the Father's love is for us. That's who we're approaching when we pray. That's who we're going to when we pray. A Father that is so deeply in love with us that we can't even begin to relate. No matter how loving we are to our children, we can't even come close to how much He cares for us and loves us. That's a tremendous illustration. And Jesus ought to know. He's walking in this love, isn't He? He's illustrating the Father's love. Number two, hallowed be Your name. Holy be Your name. In the Good News Translation, last week we said, may Your name be honored. And what we found here was is that even though He is our Father, even though we are intimate with Him, even though we have that kind of relationship with Him, He's still God Almighty. Huh? And there's people that go too far with the idea that it's just all Papa God, and it's all love, 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 and it's all touchy-feely, and there comes a time in your walk, too, where you need to respect God and respect your Father with an awesome awe and honor of Him. There's a time when He's relating to you as a father and being so loving, but there's also understand that He is God Almighty, and He deserves respect and honor, doesn't He? So there's a balance here. That we are to pray to our Father in heaven and hallow His name, to honor His name. Amen. Why do we honor His name? And we talked about this last week. Because His name represents His character. In Judges 6:24, we have Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. In Exodus 17:15, Jehovah Nisi, He's our victory and our banner. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider in Genesis 22:14. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer in Exodus 15:26. If you honor His name, honor who He is, then we have the faith to receive from Him, not just as a loving Father, but that He has the power and the ability to get the job done of that which we're praying for. Amen. Ooh, yeah. Man. This is a powerful prayer, isn't it? All right. So let's go now to thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we clearly know, and I've taught this before, God's will in the earth is not automatically done, is it? It's not automatic. 2 Peter 3:9. Go to 2 Peter 3:9. Go ahead and go there. I want you to see it out of your own Bible. Why are we praying that the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if it's already done? Why is Jesus instructing us to pray for that which is the will in heaven to be done here on this earth? In 2 Peter 3:9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as many count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice, what is his will? That no one perish. Are people perishing? Is it so then? Is his will being done? 100% being done on the earth. It's not being done. People are not coming to repentance. They're perishing. And we need to pray that there be repentance. We need to pray that people would get a revelation of our Lord and our Savior so that they don't perish. We need His kingdom here on this earth. His will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. So that is part of our prayer. Are you hearing me? This is good. Because there's doctrines out there that think as soon as a child is born, they're born again and everything's okie-dokie with everybody. And it's simply not true. You got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. It's just not automatic. Nothing of this is automatic, is it? And He wishes that none should perish. So right there is an excellent example of God's will just not automatically being done in the earth. Now in Colossians 1:13 it says, He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, or from the powers of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we are in the kingdom. What does it say? Ephesians 2:6 says, For He has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, we have the kingdom. But we need to pray it be manifested from in us to out of us. We need to have the kingdom of God operating on this earth right now. And God desires that. And that's what He wants. Romans 14:17 says this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is in us. And the kingdom of God is in us. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what are we praying? God, I want the kingdom of God in my marriage. I want the kingdom of God in my workplace. I want the kingdom of God in every area of my life. And what is brought by that is righteousness, peace, and joy in my workplace. Righteousness, peace, and joy in my marriage. Righteousness, peace, and joy in my children. Righteousness, peace, and joy in every area of my life. In my finances. In my body, in health. Pray the kingdom of God be delivered right here, manifested on this earth for us. Jesus was a walking kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is here. Behold, here He is. He never suffered any poverty. He never suffered sickness and disease. He never suffered anything but the brutality and persecution of men. And you know, Jesus always, throughout His teachings, told us that the one thing we are not promised to be delivered from is what? Persecution. Persecution. So let's bring the kingdom of God into our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. What's He saying about that? Be mindful of His daily provision in our lives. Go to Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He has sworn to His fathers, to your fathers, as it is this day. He says, if you remember me, if you put me first place, if you make me what's on your mind every day of your life, every moment, 24/7, it gets you up in the morning and puts you to bed at night. Remember me. I give you power to get wealth. Think about that. If we're totally trusting in Him and we're giving Him the credit for the wealth that we have in our lives, for the things that He brings into our lives, instead of patting ourselves on the back for our ingenuity, but saying, God, You're the one that gives me the power to be able to, for all my needs to be met. Lord, I'm acknowledging You from the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed, that Lord, You're the one who provides for me. Because I am thankful that You give me the power to be able to get wealth and have my needs met and above and beyond that. And I'm telling you what, the more you thank Him, the more you're mindful of the things that you have and you're thankful for Him. I mean, I'll tell you what, when I'm downstairs and I'm praying down in the basement, I'm thankful for the house that I'm nice and warm. I'm looking out the window and the wind's blowing and the snow is howling and all that. And I'm nice and toasty warm in my house. And the cat's all curled up, you know, in front of my monitor on my desk, you know, and he's enjoying the warmth and the safety of the house and everything. I thank God that I am not under a bridge somewhere. I used to work with homeless people down in Colorado Springs. I'll tell you what, it'll change your attitude real quick. Change you real quick. Of the thankfulness of what God and the power of God in your life to be able to have the ability and have the health and have the knowledge and have everything it takes to be able to be prosperous like we are is man. And we give Him thanks. We let Him be given our daily bread. Not us, He gives our daily bread. Back in Exodus chapter 6, scratch that. It was in the wilderness. I don't have there. But you remember the children of Israel, they got manna, didn't they? Do you remember that? God provided for them. And God did something there as a shadow, as an illustration. And what it was that when the manna came early in the morning through the dew, He says, gather just enough for the day. No more, no less, just enough for the day. And so the children of Israel, they'd go out and they'd gather up that manna. And some of them, by their own power, wanting through their own ingenuity, thought they're going to alter this plan and we're going to take an extra portion so we can sleep in the morning. And it rotted, worms came and ate it, and it rotted and it stunk. Why did God do that? Because His illustration is, I want you trusting me every day for your daily bread. I want you every day to look to me for your resources. The quail fell from the sky every day, right on time. But He wouldn't let them carry it on into the next day because He wanted them to be trusting Him every single day for their bread. What? Isn't that an awesome illustration? Man, that is so good. In Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, and Habakkuk 2:4, it says, the just shall live by faith. Every day, all day, live by faith. Are you the just? Live by faith. Live by God. Trusting Him every single day. Because if you don't do that, eventually you'll be trusting in the wealth instead of the God who gave you the wealth. I've seen it time and time again. That people will be suffering. They'll be, I can't get a job. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make my house payment. And we'll pray. And and will believe God, and then they get this awesome job that's making them good money, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, I haven't seen them in a couple of weeks. And God wants to so bless us abundantly. Just like we talked about how the Father wants to, knows how to bless us more than we know how to bless our children, with an intensity that we can't even comprehend or understand. You look at David. When he gave to the temple, he had literal hundreds of billions to give. I mean, he was so wealthy. But he trusted God. God was the center of his life, buddy. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's God or bust. Look at Solomon. He learned that from his father David. He learned to trust the Lord for his daily bread. And he became the wealthiest man that ever lived on the earth. There haven't been one since like him. And God wants us to trust him every day. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness every day. And he will take care of all your needs, won't he? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's talking about your daily needs. And he says, don't worry about tomorrow. He says, you just concern yourself with today. Today's got enough trouble of its own. So in other words, he's saying, daily trust in him. Daily, his daily bread. Amen? That's pretty good. Man, I'll tell you what, God is good, isn't it? Well, that takes some pressure off, doesn't it? You learn how to run in this, and just, it's exciting because every time you see a blessing, you go, that was God. Instead of, well, now ain't that just lucky? Erase luck out of your vocabulary. Just forget it. God is the one who's meeting. And it makes an exciting life. It really does. Your life gets exciting all of a sudden. Now you're enjoying life because you're seeing God move, God move, God move, God move. How many times have we missed God's daily bread being provided for us and we don't see it, and we don't give him thanks and we get no joy out of it? And, man, I'm talking about the Christian walk here. And it's exciting. I'll tell you what, the more you're thanking him, the more you're recognizing him, I just feel led to go. This is 2 Chronicles. I wasn't going to share this, but I'll be obedient and do it. Second Chronicles chapter 16. And I've shared this before, but there's a lot of new people here as well. And we'll just do this real quickly. Asa had 1 million Ethiopians coming at him. There was no way that he was going to be able to defeat the Ethiopians. So he turns to God and says, God, I need your help. There is no way I'm going to be able to defeat this massive army. 300 chariots. I mean, we are outgunned by a huge margin here. And God says, don't you worry about it. I'll take care of it. And he destroyed the Ethiopians for Asa's sake. I mean, he absolutely annihilated them because he was willing to turn to God and trust in him for that need that he had. But then 15 years later, Israel decides to come down to attack Judah, who Asa is king of Judah. Israel decides, well, they're going to come down and they're going to attack Judah. So he hires Syria to do his bidding for him. And Syria does chase Israel back. But God sends a prophet and says this to Asa. Let's go to verse 7. 16:7, and at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubans not a huge army and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, He delivered them into your hands. For, now watch this. I mean, you should write this down and put it on the mirror in your bathroom. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. He was disappointed with Asa. He said, because it was a small matter, you didn't trust me. And because you didn't trust me, I'm disappointed. My eyes are running to and fro over the whole earth, seeking people that will trust me, people that will rely on me for their daily needs. Because I want to champion their cause. I want to be about your business. I want you to be trusting me with your whole heart and leaning not unto your own understanding. And God was disappointed when He didn't call on Him, even on a smaller matter. How much does our Father crave to want to meet our needs and wants to take care of situations in our lives? That's an awesome verse because it shows God's heart. He wants so much to champion our lives and to help us and meet our needs and take care of circumstances in our lives if we're just willing to open up and let Him have it. He's desiring it, isn't He? Thank you, Lord, for giving us every day our daily bread. Number five, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, it's interesting that he brings that up because something that's so close to God's heart is forgiveness. He is always forgiving us. He laid the plan of forgiveness for us thousands, clear back in the garden when Adam and Eve fell. It took them thousands of years to get Jesus into the earth so that He can shed His loving kindness towards us. And He always did love us. But think about it, now that Jesus has taken care of the sin problem, it has been abolished and moved out of the way. He has totally and completely forgiven us. How much more should we be forgiving others? Our trespasses are multiple more towards Him than anybody could be trespassing against us. And remember now, Jesus is teaching here how to get your prayers answered. That was the initial question for those of you that weren't here before. What led all of this was that the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray. That's what led into all of this conversation that they're having here. And because they wanted their prayers answered. And they looked at Jesus and went, man, I mean, you pray and you get results. And we're just not getting the kind of results you're getting. And Jesus didn't say, well, that's because I'm Jesus. Of course. And that's not the way we think. Well, He's God in the flesh. Of course He's getting His prayers answered. Jesus didn't say that to him. He said, well, sure, I'll teach you how to pray. In other words, you can have answered prayer the way I have answered prayer. And what he included in this prayer on how to approach the Father is that we walk in forgiveness and we don't have offense in our life. It's deadly. And we need to get it out of our lives. You look at, you know, many times we get offended and it don't seem to take much for people to get offended. But I'm telling you, through the lens of offense, I tell you what, that stuff is everywhere. The more we're offended, we get offended on just one thing. Just one thing offends us. And we start looking at that one thing through the lenses of offense and unforgiveness. And it gets to the place where you can't see anything good about that particular situation or that person or that event or that organization or maybe it's the church or whatever. And the more you dwell on that offense and you meditate on it, it becomes bigger and bigger in your life. Pretty soon, You're looking through, pretty soon everything you look at is through the lenses of offense. You just, something that was perfectly good, something that you enjoyed and loved, God robs you of it because you start looking at it through the lenses of offense. And what you once loved, you don't love much anymore. Then it starts bleeding into other areas of your life. We've got to walk in unforgiveness and take the lenses of offense off. And I'll tell you what I have found to be true is that offense doesn't hurt the person you're offended at. It destroys your life. I mean, long after you're sitting here offended at this one person, they can be long gone and living their life happily. And you're still going, I remember when such and such did that. Let it go. Just let it go. It's liberating you, not that person. You need to forgive. Because when you go to approach God and you've got all this bitterness and all this thing, you're not going to pray in faith. Honestly, am I speaking truth here? Because you've got this bottled up on the inside of you and it's grinding away at you and you're just, and then you're, next thing you know, now you're seeing God offensively. Well, this person treats me like this, and this person treats me like this, and this organization's not been fair, and I got this problem with my wife, or I got this situation going on in here, and I'm sure you're just the same way, God. So, We need to let it go. Just let it go, man. Life is short. Let it go. People say, "Well, I ain't going to church anymore. I mean, it's full of hypocrites." Well, don't go to Walmart. I mean, every person you bump into, I'm sure they got a little something in them. Huh? Well, there's just a lot of confusion and deception in there. Well, don't go to a university. There's a lot of deception, a lot of craziness going on there too. Huh? But, well, I'm leaving the church because it don't have this or it doesn't have that. Or so there's a bunch of phonies there. Well, they don't watch your TV. Huh? We welcome those crazies into our house and don't have a bit of problem. They're just after my money. Well, then tell the IRS I ain't paying my taxes. Because I guarantee you that's all they're after for you. That's all they're after. All they see is a big, giant check. They look at you and they say, "All right, I want you to, this is your paycheck, it's ours, and we're going to graciously let you keep this much. The rest is ours." I am not kidding you. That is the mentality. They are graciously letting us keep a portion of our, all right, I don't want to get off on that. Kick that soapbox off to the side there, and we'll get back on that. You know what, look to the left. Look to the person to the left. Look to the person to the right of you. The house is full of imperfect people, isn't it? Now look up here. Yes, I'm imperfect. I think you thought I was going to say, and here's an example of perfect. No, isn't it? I want you to keep that in mind so when somebody says something offhand to you and they didn't even really mean it, even if they did mean it, have grace and mercy. We are brothers and sisters. We need to forgive and be understanding. You don't know what kind of week they've had. Cut them some slack. Because there's going to come a day when you're going to come roaming in here or be down at Walmart or doing something, you know, and have an attitude. Because you've been having a bad day or you've been dealing with some things. Pray for them. Be concerned for them. Don't say, "That person's a loser. I'm out of here." Man, it's got to be one of the number one tools of the devil. In fact, it'd be better for us as we pray this prayer that you're forgiving people's trespasses before they even trespass on you. Well, Jesus did 2,000 years ago for you. Every sin you committed was forgiven 2,000 years ago. It's all future sins, all future attitudes. To have it already settled in your heart, I am walking in forgiveness, I'm walking in love, I'm walking in mercy, that's my prayer. And then if you already have that every day, like your daily bread, if every day you settle that in your heart, then when somebody comes up to you, instead of being offended, you go, brother, can I help you? Can I pray with you? Is there something going on here? Can I reach out to you? Is that different than just going, well, fine with you, I ain't never speaking to you again. And the devil's going, woo-hoo! Forgive others their debts as God has forgiven yours. Do not lead us into temptation. And the New Living Translation says, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. It's not a request, it's a declaration. In Isaiah 54:17, well, that's another card to put on your mirror. This is a great scripture. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I shall condemn, for I am the servant of the Lord. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Huh? Man. Don't let attacks attack you. Condemn them. It's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Don't let persecution and attacks and everything frustrate you and get on the inside of you. You knock them down because your righteousness is of the Lord, not somebody else's judgment on you. Strike it down. You get your fulfillment from your relationship with God, not what other people think of you. Well, I tell you what, if I didn't pick that scripture up years ago, I wouldn't be here right now. And so that's a strong verse. Use it like a weapon. Use it like a weapon. In Romans 8:31, I'll just go ahead and read it for the sake of time here. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Did you hear that statement? Does that parallel what we were talking about here? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, he is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I mean, the very statement of even in the tone that is being said, how dare anybody condemn you? Your relationship between you and God, that's what's important. Nothing is separating you from the love of God. He's your justifier. You be about His business. You find out what He's called you to do, and you do that with your whole heart, and let the rough end drag on people's comments, on people's opinions of what you're doing. Because I guarantee you, the devil will bring plenty of people along that'll tell you, what are you doing? I mean, you can't do that. I mean, who do you think you are? I mean, that's not the way things are done. I mean, if you're going to accomplish anything for the Lord, you're going to have this. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This prayer is answered by your kingdom, your power, and to give God glory. It's God's glory manifested in this answered prayer. God gets glory when our prayers are answered. Praying His will on the earth glorifies Him on the earth. Amen. Man, that's good. praise Jesus.